This verse is the Old Testament. Old Testament is Torah. I will send a prophet, a Nabi, unto them as I send a Nabi unto you. So the comparison is what? The Nabi being like Musa alayhi salam. So in several ways this description is of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It can't be Isa alayhi salam, because Isa alayhi salam didn't marry and had no children. Musa alayhi salam married and he had children. How do you know he was married? When he went to Madian, he was married there with children. So he was coming from Madian, and it was a cold winter's night, icy night, and his wife was in the final stages of pregnancy, right in the last. Today too, aajkal ki baat thi. So he had children as well. And then he says to his family, "Unkusu, inni anastu nara." You wait here. Now, Musa alayhi salam on that night, he had taken an alternate road to Egypt. He is going to Egypt to see his mother. From the time of Yusuf alayhi salam, he was all there. And going to Egypt to see his mother. So it's a cold winter's night. He needs to meet his mother. And there is also the fear of some enemy being on the way. So the prudent thing was not to take the popular road. He took an alternate road, not the popular road, to save himself from the enemy. Now, it's not a popular road, and he needed direction. So he says to his wife, "La'alli aatikum minha biqabasin aw ajidu 'ala an-nari huda." One is to keep yourself warm, and the other is we need some direction. But he also learned from this, "Umkusu inni anastu nara," that the work that is outside the home, that is man's work, and that's not a woman's work, it's a man's work. Otherwise, Musa alayhi salam could have told his family, "You're feeling cold, and I see a fire there, you won't fetch the thing." But did he say that? No. He said, "Umkusu," you just hold on. He would have said nicely, "And you see, you're feeling cold, I'm quite fine. Go and face the fire." So things that are within the house, that is the work of the wife, and things that are outside the house is the work of the man. And if a man is saying that she must do this, she must do the work that's outside the house, then it's cowardice. Because the work, the world operates with distribution of duties. Right. You don't see the Prime Minister being the Home Minister, Treasurer, Foreign Minister, Transport Minister. He's got one work, and others take on other works. So it shows that there is a thing like distribution of work. So when there's going to be distribution of work, then the world will run smoothly. There's no distribution of work. You're trying to do 10 jobs, one is going to get spoiled. You're in the kitchen, trying to get the tea right, the toast right, and there's a knock on the door. You open the door, and there's a phone, managing the phone. Child is crying, you're trying to comfort the child. You're multitasking. You're doing seven work at one time, one thing will get spoiled. Either the tea will spill, it happens to me, I'm preparing tea now, I've been 3-4 jobs one time, then at least once in a week or something it must spill. So when you're multitasking, it's going to happen. So the wife does one work and you do something else, then the thing runs well. Now if you wanted to do the work, then that's cowardice, because you're giving her a double load. She has to bear the child, she has to attend to the child, and she has to attend to the work outside. I say, is she balancing it right? You may say, alright, send the child to the creche. I ask you, in any country, majority of the people are average and below average or wealthy. Majority are average or below average. In this country, every country. This creche business, only the wealthy can afford. Poor, average, 70-90% of the people, how do you afford? Aren't we being unkind and unreal? There is a thing like distribution of work. This is how the world operates, and this is the right way. Inni anastu nara. In then, falamma ata mudiya. Ana rabbuka fakhla'na alayhi. Now he's coming close to that fire that he had seen from the distance. Now, a voice was heard. Mudiya. It was called. Inni ana rabbuka. This, I'm your Rabb. From the point when he saw that fire, really, it was not a fire, though it seemed like a fire. It was like a light. Because it was such a light that made the tree seem to be even brighter, more brilliant, and more beautiful. Now, a fire, what does it do? It burns it down. This thing made it look more bright, more splendid, attractive. So the voice was heard. Ana Rabbu, I am your Rabb. So how will you explain this? That fire, a voice is the I am your Rabb. So it's easy to understand. You know, a voice was heard from there. Like your father is in America, right? And he's called for you. Father says, this is daddy. This is daddy. Right? This is ishara e ba'ir, ishara e qareeb. Ji? Ishara e qareeb. And here he's using that word, whereas he's in America. So it's like, it's a phone. So the voice is heard. Same, Musa al-Islam hears the voice. The voice of the one that was calling. Who was calling? Allah was calling. So it doesn't mean Labakh was there. He heard the voice, Nudi Ya Musa. And then the message was, Ana Rabbuk Fakhla'an Alik. Now you're coming into divine presence. Right. So divine presence was certain protocols and certain etiquette. The etiquette is to show respect. Like you come into a courtroom, don't you show respect. You were attired rightly, you would use the right address, your honor, your majesty. So you attired right, and the address also is right. So there is some type of an etiquette, some type of a protocol that is followed when you're entering a royal presence, you're entering, there must be some type of a etiquette. See? So the first lesson that is taught in the whole deen is respect. See that? Inni ana rabbuka fakhla'an 'alayk. After you have now made up your mind, you would look for Allah Ta'ala. You want to see His deen, His teaching, His mannerisms, you would hear. And the first thing that will talk to you, learn respect. So you got an understanding, a brief understanding of your Rabb. So when you've got a brief understanding, you want a detailed explanation. And then as you want a detailed explanation, the first lesson is respect. Now, why is respect so much, so important? For multiple reasons. One is, you're in divine presence. It's not any casual presence. So when you're in a divine presence, then you will behave differently. Now you with your child, so you'll be amusing yourself, joking with him. This little child, 2 years of age, 1 year of age, perhaps you'll sprinkle some water on his face, cheer him up, cuddle him, you may tickle him a bit. That is when he's so small. So the etiquette there is different. And when it's a great person, then the etiquette is different. So the right etiquette at the right occasion. إِنَّكَ بِالْوَادِ الْمُقَدَّسِ تُوَى. Now you are at Tuwa, on auspicious grounds. This is where wahi and revelation comes. So you have to respect. That means wherever you find wahi, the word of Allah Ta'ala, being read, being taught, being written, being imparted, being acquired, wherever the word of Allah Ta'ala, that's wahi. And when that's wahi, then that place has to be respected as well. Like it was respected there. Wherever the word of Allah Ta'ala is learned, taught, acquired, imparted, written down, received, wherever, that place must be respected. Some of the reasons why students don't do well nowadays, they don't excel, and they don't, is a deficiency of adab. Either they haven't learned it, or they didn't see the need to learn it. That's why you find the muhaddiseen, before they commence their kitabs, then they take out the time to teach you adab. Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahmatullahi alayhi, that was his whole curriculum that he used to offer. So he would have at least about over 1,000 students. And from the 1,000, only about 100, 200 he would allow, he'll teach them personally. And the rest of the students, they must learn the whole adab. What is required, what they must do, what must be the code of conduct. All that. Now that is the Quran Sharif. Khizr alayhi salam is a teacher to Musa alayhi salam. فَإِنِ اتَّبَعَتَنِي فَلَا تَسْأَلْنِي عَنْ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى أُحْدِثَ لَكَ الْمَذِكَ. See, you will learn now. So let me show you the procedure. See that? So who's putting the conditions? The teacher. إِنِ اتَّبَعَتَنِي فَلَا تَسْأَلْنِي عَنْ شَيْءٍ. So the teacher has got the right to put some procedures, mannerisms, code of conduct, all those things. He's got the right to do it. Now, why is the code of conduct all important? Because if there's a good code of conduct, then apart from education being appreciated, education goes very well. Because every child is in his place, he's respected, respecting this calmness. So the chances for the child to learn better is greater. Now say for example there was no conduct. It's the rowdy, shouting, the ranting, the raving, and someone is looking out, spitting, and shouting, and doing a lot of things at the same time. I say, will you get that attention? Not going to get that attention, that education is not going to be imparted very well. So you see that the first lesson was other. Sometimes I share this with the students. Imam Bukhari Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he passed away 254. Right? 256 or 254 he passed away. And he was born 194. And 256 he passed away. Right? So his age is now, let's count his, what his age will be? Huh? 62. Yeah. 194 and 256. So 62 years. But for every hadith that he's recording, having a bath, he's applying, brushing his teeth, performing two rakat namaz, bringing Allah's assistance, and every hadith is being recorded either in the haram with Makkah, Mukarrama, either Muntazam Samar, or the place between Roza Mubarak and the Minbar, Medina Munawara, between the resting place of Rasulullah Pak Sarsam and the Minbar. But he didn't need to do all these things. Did he need to do all this? To have a bath, to make miswak, to perform two rakat namaz, beg Allah Ta'ala's help, and then to choose this spot here to write everything. Did he need to do these things? Was it for us? Sunnah. Then that other perhaps was the contributing factor towards the acceptance. Now imagine 256 he passed away, right? Today it will be about 1200 years, won't it be? Because now we are in 1444, won't we? So approximately 1200 years. But the Kitab is running very well. Whole world talks about it, teaches it, every madrasa must have it. See that? So this element of respect is in it. It gives life. At home, you show respect to your parents. Right? You're going somewhere, you're asking them, Abba, I'm going here, and I'll come back at this time, and I'm going for this work. Isn't your father's or your parents' du'as with you? But you could sneak out at the time that you want, and sneak in back. Will they feel comfortable? They may not tell you, because of your age, but if you tell them, alright, Abba, I want to leave. I need your permission. I want to leave. I'll be going here. And my approximate time for return is this. How will they feel? How the house runs? The house runs very smoothly. Nice. Father feels nice. Parents feel nice. And they feel that you have got some etiquette. You got some other. But at your age, you can run out of the house. Right? and go out at your discretion, return at your discretion, but the aspect of other was missing. Allah Pak Tawfiq Sibah.